Thank you. Not sure where that creative line came from in the middle of my slides. Hope it's not there throughout. I want to, first of all, acknowledge my co-investigators here and the fact that this is based on an R18, which is funded by NIOSH. Someone said to me the other day, what's an R18? And that's actually crucial to this. An R18 is for a demonstration project. So as I go through this, I will try to explain to you why this is somewhat different from some of the other research you've heard about in further down the line of research. My co-authors include partners from the North Carolina Farmworkers Project. We have had a partnership with them developing research and interventions with farmworkers around pesticides and other topics since 1996. So I do want to say at the outset that this used a CBPR method. It's based on a partnership, but I'm really not going to talk about the development of the intervention and the CBPR process we use because I've spoken about that before. So just by way of background, I'm going to pick up on what Narges was saying about pesticide exposure. I think everybody here knows that both migrant and seasonal farm workers are exposed to pesticides in the field. I don't think there's any questions about that. Their families are also exposed, even family members who do not work in the field, and they're exposed through occupational and para-occupational pathways. The worker protection standard was developed by US EPA to educate workers about their risks and to teach them methods that should supposedly protect them from pesticides. However, it's only for workers, and it is not given to family members who also are exposed and who may be the ones who actually do something about the exposure, given that one of the things in the worker protection standard is that workers are taught how their clothes should be laundered. Well, oftentimes they're not the ones laundering their clothes. So family members may really be key to implementing pesticide safety measures, and they don't get training. So that is the missing piece that our intervention was designed to address. There have been some what I call family training programs that have been developed. They've been shown to be efficacious in fairly tightly controlled settings where there's a lot of oversight of the people doing the intervention. There's a lot of testing of the participants. But there have been really no large and carefully evaluated demonstration projects to say, well, what happens when you take this very carefully done intervention and you put it out in the real world and you let people do it? What happens? Does it still work? And so that's what a demonstration project is, and that's what we are attempting to do here. So this project was to take an effective intervention that was designed to improve farmworker family pesticide-related knowledges and practices. And in this iteration, we named it La Familia Sana. And it was to take it to a broader public health context. And the goals of the analysis I'm going to present today were to evaluate whether participating in this public health intervention resulted in changes in pesticide-related knowledge, changes in worker protection standard recommended practices related to at-home agricultural pesticide exposure, and whether it resulted in changes in practices related to residential pesticide exposure. One of my colleagues, Tom Arcuri, is going to give a paper tomorrow talking about farmworker housing, which Martha alluded to earlier. And the farmworker housing, as you will see from Tom's presentation, if you go to it, is really abysmal in North Carolina as well as elsewhere. And there are a lot of pesticides being used in those homes. So we were trying to address that pesticide exposure as well. Our methods. I mentioned that we have a community university partnership. And with that, we took the two parts of this demonstration project and assigned one to one partner and one to the other. Our community group implemented a Promotora-led education program for farmworker families. They enrolled families who self-identified as Latino, where at least one member of the household worked in farmworker in the past year, and where they had a child less than 12 years or someone was pregnant. So the Farmworkers Project recruited promotoras, they trained them, they sent them out to recruit. As the university partner, we conducted the evaluation. Before any lessons started with the families, we contacted them and we did a pretest, which was fairly extensive, and then we did a post-test after all the lessons were over. There were 6 lessons, I'll show you those in a minute, and they took anywhere from about 6 weeks to, in some cases, almost a year to get the lessons to the family. So they varied by the aggressiveness, I think, of the promotora and also the availability of the farm worker family. There were 18 learning objectives, which were combined into 6 lessons, and then we were interested in pesticide-related practices. Just to show you some of the materials for this have been condensed onto a CD-DVD combination, and I'm quite willing to share these with people. And in fact, my project manager doesn't want to take them home, so if anybody's interested. And I'll show you some of the print materials here, but we also have a couple of videos on here. There are active learning games that are part of the lesson plans and so forth. So the first lesson focused on pesticide symptoms and long-term consequences. The second one on pesticide residues and para-occupational pathways. The third lesson on reducing pesticide exposure in the home. The fourth was lessons on integrated pest management, getting rid of pests without using pesticides. The fifth focused on risks for pregnant women and for infants. And then finally, the sixth was on how do you convince other people to change, given that we were training largely women who are going to have to get the men in the house to take their shoes off and a few other things. So those were the 6 lessons that were part of this. Our sample, for whom we had both a pre- and a post-test, we had 592 families. We had 661 families, you can see that about 97% of the participants were female in it. There were some men that participated, and quite a broad age range, a very broad educational range, with a quarter of them having less than a fifth grade education. Most were born in Mexico. A few said that English was their most comfortable language, but not many. And we had about 15% that were most comfortable in an indigenous language. Let me show you some of the results now. Remember I said we did a pre- and a post-test. And so the pre-test is the gray bar and the post-test is the gold bar. We had 6 learning objectives, and we had quite a number of questions that we condensed down to get a score for people on these to say, had they learned the material for those lessons? And you can see the titles of them down the side. I guess the thing to point out here is that there are quite a number of those areas of knowledge where people really didn't know very much at the outset. Only 5% of people had any idea of how you could reduce pesticide exposure in the home, 12% what a pesticide residue was and how it got into the home. So there were a lot of knowledge deficits. And for all of them, there were significant increases in knowledge as we got to the post-test. And for some of them, it's interesting, for the pregnant women and infants, there was quite a bit of knowledge there, but basically everybody knew it by the end. In terms of the practices, these are self-reported practices. You can see, again, for a couple of these, there was very high compliance with WPS recommended practices at the outset, storing farm work clothes separate from family clothes and washing them separately. And there was some change. There were things that didn't change, however. Usually change, you got a farm work clothes outside the home, didn't change very much. All of the changes except for that one were significant. My own interpretation of this is that people were storing laundry and so forth separately, not because of pesticides, because they really didn't have that information. They were probably storing them separately just because it's gross to put your work clothes with your baby clothes. And so they were doing the right things, but probably not for informed reasons. And then finally, we asked about integrated pest management behaviors. And we have some video, if you get this, that talks about pesticides, keeping or integrated pest management, keeping pests out, starving them out, and then using non-pesticide solutions. And you can see, again, for all of these, there were increases in the behaviors, not very much with the non-pesticide solutions. And I think part of that was because people were not using a lot of pesticides at the time that we interviewed them. So by way of summary then, what we've shown in this is that there were substantial pre-test knowledge deficits that were reduced significantly at the post-test. We also showed that practices that were related either to worker protection standards or to integrated pest managements were maintained or improved. The limitations on this are obvious. It doesn't address the social justice issue that people shouldn't be exposed to pesticides in the first place. We also did not include measures of pesticide exposure in this. I would say also by way as a design, this is a pre and a post-test design. It is not a controlled trial. However, the controlled trial was done earlier, and so we've done that and published it. So this was an attempt to put it into a public health setting without a lot of supervision of the promotoras and say, can they go out and do it, and does it cause changes? So our conclusion is that this intervention is effective when it's administered in public health settings. It was used by women to recruit from clinics and to recruit from community organizations and all sorts of things like that. Women from this farm worker community were able to reach this marginalized population. The women who were hired, we had a total of 17 promotoras over the course of the study, and they were largely women who were farm workers themselves. They did not have very high levels of education at all, some of them, and they were able to go out and teach this curriculum and reach this population. They had limited training and they had limited oversight, but we saw changes. And then just in conclusions, when we get the time, are going to send the training materials out on a number of the listservs and note that they are available, but we have compiled them. They include a train-the-trainer manual, they include a manual for the promotora, and they include essentially a manual for the participant that has materials in them and include several videos. So if anyone would like them, NIOSH would love to have them because we took the rest of the money and made CDs and DVDs with them. And we'd be glad to send them to you. Thank you very much.